in John chapter 13, I just want to make a comment or two. This won't take long. John chapter 13, when the Lord is washing the disciples' feet. In verse 6, he says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter says unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. The Lord, the foundation of God standeth sure. The scripture says that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And that's our only hope. That's our only... We sang a song a minute ago. I think Mike had picked it out where it says, Christ is our all. It was in the... I think it was in the Lloyd's hymnal. Christ is our all. And in that song... It was speaking of, you know, if Christ isn't our all, we are miserable. We are of all men most miserable. There's no hope in anything that we can say or do. Not all my sighs and tears can wash away my sin or take away the guilty conscience that I have. And Christ is that heavenly lamb that takes away all of our sin. Our hope's in, it's in nothing else. The reason why I mentioned that is Peter. Now, Peter loves the Lord, and he knows that the Lord is the Lord of glory. He knows that. He knows that he's the highest. He recognizes that, and he's respectful of that. I mean, he's esteemed the Lord very highly. He says, You shall not wash my feet, Lord. I know who you are. You're the highest. And the Lord is fixing to teach him a lesson here. And I'm not sure that I can, if somebody else has a comment, I'm open to that too. I'm not sure I can render everything that's here. But just a couple of things maybe that might stick out. Peter says, You'll never wash my feet, Lord, because you are the highest. I should be washing your feet. And so the Lord says, Well, if I don't wash you, then you don't have any part with me. Now what he was saying was, he wasn't saying if I don't wash your feet. This is what Peter was thinking. Peter was thinking, Well, there's something we need to do. The Lord's showing us something we need to do to be washed. And he's saying, what the Lord's doing, he's doing a play on word. He's fixing to teach him a lesson. If I wash you not, you don't have any part with me. And the washing that he's speaking of is the washing of regeneration, the washing of the Holy Spirit, the only hope for sinners. There's salvation and no other than the sanctifying of the Holy Ghost. Those whom the Lord is love, he sanctified in Christ before the foundation of the world, hid them in him. And in time, as it pleases the Lord, he reveals Christ in them by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is no other sanctifying other than that. And that is all the work of Almighty God. Lest you think, or I think, that we have some part in this washing, the Lord did this to Peter. He said he was using a play on Peter's thinking, okay, well, Now look at what he says here. He said, the Lord says in verse 8, if I wash you not, you don't have any part with me. Well, the washing the Lord, remember the washing the Lord speaking of is the washing of regeneration of the Holy Ghost, making a man new by the power of the Spirit of God and the washing of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what he's speaking of here. It's all one part, but all one whole, but there are various aspects that we speak about. But the washing that he's talking about is the blood of Christ, and it's also the application of the Spirit of God, the regeneration, being born again of His Spirit. If I wash you not, you don't have any part with me. Look what Peter says. He says, Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head. And he wants to be holy. He wants to be cleansed of his sin. I mean, he's being honest. He's not just saying some words. He's honest. He feels like, if that's what it is, then wash all of me. My hands, my feet, and everything. Well, the Lord was trying to say that he that the Lord has washed doesn't need his hands or his head or this and that. Well, he doesn't need to keep some kind of rules or regulations. He doesn't need to add anything to this washing. Why? How do you know that? Drop down to verse 10. Look what the Lord says to him. He that is washed of the washing that I wash, the washing of Christ, he doesn't need any other washing. Look, he needeth not except to wash his feet. Look, but he's clean every whit. How is a man clean every whit? There are multitudes in our day, and there always has been, because this is ingrained in our nature, brethren. It's in our nature to seek, to try to justify ourselves before a holy God. To seek by our own actions, that is. Every man has that on his conscience. The Scripture says that the heavens declare the glory of God. They utter day unto day, day unto day it utters speech, and night unto night it speaks of the power and the eternal power of God creating heaven and earth. Every man knows that he is accountable unto holy God. He knows that regardless he tries to, do all sorts of things, trying to ease his conscience, delving into all sorts of different things, trying to salve his conscience. Every man knows that he needs some sort of justification before God. He knows that. He seeks to do it by the works of his own hands. And so, this is what you and I are privy to. Even as believers, it's still in the sinful flesh that we desire to add something. We just can't rest. It couldn't be that. It couldn't be that the Lord has just washed us every whit clean, could it? I mean, surely there's something that you and I could do that could appease this conscience when we trip up and when we sin. We still sin, so we feel like, man, where is the power of this? If the Lord has really cleansed me, why do I still trip up with this? And so all the different religions, all the different sects and groups, they come at sanctification. They come at this, how a man is purified, and they say, well, it's Christ. Yeah, we believe, many of these, we believe Christ, but we also believe that the men need to keep the law to be sanctified. We believe Christ, that's good. He did a mighty work. That's great. But there's something in addition to that we need. We need, because if we tell people that Christ has done a total work, he has made a man every whit clean. If we tell them that he's made him every whit clean, just absolutely made him every whit clean, there wouldn't be anything for us to tell him to do. And he might I mean, who knows what would happen? There would be chaos. I had a fellow tell me that. If we didn't have a confession of faith, there'd be chaos. We don't put these rules on folks. Man, there'd be chaos. Not understanding. I'm not making light of that. I've even thought that before. But not understanding that what the Lord says here. He says, whom I make clean. He's every whit clean. And he's kept by the power of God through faith, said Peter. Now turn over. Does anybody got a comment? You got, before we turn over and get off of that, does anybody got a comment? Could you add anything to what, I mean, you might could have seen something. I don't know. I know Mike or Al or any of you guys. Any of you guys got a comment on that verse there where the Lord's talking about he that is washed doesn't need except to wash his feet?
Well, I was thinking of, you know, the feet. I don't know what different people practice in their daily washings or whatever, taking a bath or shower or whatever. And I'm assuming most people take regular showers and baths. usually, I mean, whenever I take a shower, my feet's the last thing that I wash. And it's like your feet, kind of in a way, are kind of like an insignificant part of you. I mean, they're a very vital and important part of you, actually, because if you didn't have your feet, you'd be, you know, in sure enough bad condition. But, you know, usually you spend a lot more time washing the rest of your body than you do on your feet. And I think one of the things that the Lord was teaching Peter here, as you pointed out there, Peter said, well, I want to be washed all over. And he said, if I so much as touch the most insignificant part of you, I mean, what, as men would think a very lowly thing, he said, you're every whit clean.
Amen.
It doesn't. And so that men often relegate the work of Christ, maybe inadvertently, they don't mean to necessarily, but they relegate the work of Christ to like some, well, it's good to have that, but you also need this over here. And you like you said there, and in various ways, well, it's good to be born again, but you need to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Well, not to say that that's not, there's some truth in the fact that God's people do grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We're exhorted in that way. But yet, the work of Christ is so complete, as if, I mean, when Nicodemus came to the Lord, he didn't say, now Nicodemus, you need to be born again, and by the way, also, you need to have the work of the Spirit in you to do this, that, and the other. No, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born again.
That's right.
Because that is what
That's
we
right.
need. We need the work of God in us, and the work of Christ is a complete work, so that there's nothing else to be gained other than that. Now, having said all of that, you know, the body of that is a tremendous thing, but that is the place that the Lord would have us to be, and the Lord would have us to focus is on that which Christ has done for us. And sometimes you hear men talk about the impartation of grace. Then, without getting into a theological discussion, the Scripture has far more to say about the imputation of the righteousness of Christ than, in fact, I don't know that it speaks about the impartation of righteousness, but that's another
subject.
Right. But nonetheless, if Christ gives a man his righteousness, that man's righteous.
Amen.
From head to foot, and he doesn't need anything else.
Amen.
The thing I'm concerned with now is you didn't finish the rest of that number 10.
That's right.
You are clean. And then the next section, what always worries me is, but not all of you.
That's right.
I'm afraid that I may be in that party.
Well, I agree. Brother Don was speaking about this the other day, and Brother Don mentioned the same. He said, "I wonder if it was if that's what he meant there." And I think what he means right here is that he's talking about Judas. He's speaking to the disciples here, and he's speaking of the foundation of the Lord, the foundation of God stands sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. He knows them. He's called them. He hid them in Christ before the foundation of the world. Without going into a long, and so he's speaking about I know whom it is that I have chosen, and I mean in a saving, everlasting saving way, I know whom I have chosen. Now, the Lord did choose all the disciples, even Judas, but He chose them according to His purpose. His purpose was to manifest His grace, you know, the glory of His grace in His disciples whom He loved, and also to manifest the power. For this reason have I raised thee up, Pharaoh, that I might demonstrate my power in you in the destruction of Pharaoh. And so with Judas here, this is who I think he's speaking of when he says, but not all.
That's right.
You see, all of you are clean because ye all are in me. And I go to prepare a place for you. I go to lay down my life for you. And ye are all clean through that work. But not all. Not all of you, because I know whom I've chosen and I know whom I haven't. And who was there with them? Who was there at the table acting as if He was a true saint of God, acting as if he had some love for the Lord? Did he have any? He had none, because the Lord had not known him in that way. The Lord had not chosen him unto salvation, nor had he given faith unto him. But he was manifesting that it's of the Lord to have mercy on whom he will, and on whom he will, he'll harden. And this is what he's manifesting. So without a long, I think he's talking, Brother John, I think he's talking to, speaking of Judas here.
Well, you know, an interesting part of that is this, and I believe this is a true thing. A man who's genuinely concerned that he might be a betrayer of the Lord, he's got to be born again in
That's
order
right.
to have that.
Amen.
Because Judas, when the disciples, you know, the Lord said, one of you is going to betray me. John said, well, is it I? Peter said, is it I? Said, and all the disciples,
That's
and
right.
even Judas said, is it I? But you see, all the rest of them were sitting there saying, Lord, I hope it's not me. Judas knew it was him.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Judas knew that it was him, and he didn't care.
That's right.
And the Lord said, go do what you got to do. And then Judas just got up.
That's right.
So even though Judas asked the question, you know, is it I?
He was feigning there.
Right. He already, because he was, it was, to him, it wasn't a heart matter. He didn't care if it was him or not. In fact, he knew it was him. You know, and so, but the man that looks at that and questions, you know, his it breaks his heart to think that he would be the one that was.
That's exactly right.
That man, I mean, that's an evidence that the Spirit of God's at work.
Amen. That, just like that song we sang, he said, you know, if you were to remove, I mean, we'd die without you. That song, you're everything to us. I mean, you're all. Nothing else will do. I don't have any. The Lord's done taken away all my hope of any other except Him. I've got to have Him. I got to have Him. Just like blind Bartimaeus, you know, when the Lord came by, they tried to shut him up. And the more they tried to shut him up, they said, you know, don't trouble the Master. Be quiet, man. You know, he said, man, I got to have Him. He said, Lord. He got louder and louder. He wouldn't be denied because he had to have the Lord. He knew what a desperate situation it was. He knew how great a dilemma he was in. And that was, you know, a symbol of the dilemma that you and I are in when the Lord gives us eyes to see that and a heart to believe that Christ is our only hope. We cannot be denied. We have to have Him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. We call out on the Lord. And the Lord's not playing games with men, with His people. If the Lord's ever done a work like that in a man's heart, it's because He loved that man, and He's drawing that man unto Himself. Brethren, He's the Savior of sinners. We're of all people the most vile, and we don't deserve anything. We deserve to be taken out and cast away with the rest that will eventually be cast away. We deserve that. We don't have anything. We're not greater than them. We don't have anything. If you looked at us individually of our own accord, the Scripture says we're children of wrath by nature, even as they are. In other words, we look just like them. Except that in the eyes of the Father, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, through the grace that's been given unto us, He sees us as clean every whit. Clean every whit. On what basis? That we need our hands washed and our feet? We need to do some extra things? Peter thought, maybe. That was a good question. I mean, that was a good... That's nothing wrong. I mean, he was being honest. Lord, I want to... And he said, you've been cleansed by me. You clean every whit. You clean every whit. He said, the only thing is, he needs his feet. See, he that is washed, he doesn't need to be washed again. He just needs his feet clean. Brethren, we're cleaning our feet by the Spirit of God this morning, in the sense that when we gather together, you remember what the Lord said? He said, do this in remembrance. Remember what I've done for you. Remember that I finished the work. Remember that. That's an aspect of what he's speaking of here. We don't need to do anything to have remission of sins or to have our sins taken away or to feel good about ourselves. We need to remember what the Lord has already done, I believe is what he's saying here. You need your feet cleansed. And that's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Because as you and I, what's in contact with the world in this sense? Your feet are. Your feet are in contact with the earth. My mind's heavenward. With my mind, I serve the Lord, said Paul. But then there's something within me that would bring me back down and serve the law of sin. And so, as you and I walk in this life, we are most definitely going to sin against the Lord. We don't want to. Per se, but it is a fact. But the Lord said, you clean every whit. You just need to remember. You need to remember what I've done for you. This do ye in remembrance of me. Remember what I did. I paid it all. I paid it all, and ye are clean every whit. Now another scripture over here, I'm not going to go into the explanation. I just want to read something. Men are always concerned about, you know, how are we going to keep these people holy, you know, if we don't have the law on them, and they liable to go off and do all sorts of things, and how, you know, they need to be sanctified. They need to be, brethren, they are sanctified in Christ. They've been set apart from before the foundation of the world, according as He had chosen us in Christ, Ephesians 1:4. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy in Christ. We're holy in Christ. In Acts chapter 15, this question of how a man is righteous in the sight of God comes up in the early church. You remember after the Lord ascended and had commanded the disciples to go and preach to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then he ascended up into heaven. He commanded, the disciples went out. And by the power of the Spirit of God, they began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Jews and Gentiles believed on the word of the Lord. And in chapter 15 of Acts, there was a question came up. The Jews, you know, being from the from a legal background, in the Old Testament, the legal background of the Ten Commandments and all the ceremonies and the types and shadows that the Lord had given unto them through the law, they made. You know, they made idols out of those things. The law and all the things. They worshiped those things and not the God of those things, which is what that song was speaking about. All those things mean nothing if God isn't there. If He's not there, that's whom we're seeking. The Lord is my salvation. There's salvation in nothing else. Not how I feel, not how I have repented, not how I've walked, not how I've done, but salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these guys, all the Pharisees, the Jews that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, they did believe on Him. Or I say all of them, but the ones in this question right here, they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they had been baptized. But they still believed that there was some value in keeping the law of Moses. See, they said, I see what y'all are saying, guys. I think that's a good, the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the sin debt, but who's going to keep me in check? Who's going to keep me from falling into sin? And if you look in Acts chapter 15, look right here. When they met together for this question that had come up in the assemblies, the question of how a man is cleansed, how a man is kept. It says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, look at this, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. You ever hear anything like that? Today,
yeah. Many different forms, yes.
You sure do, yeah. I mean, I've even been privy to that. Not the circumcision, not that, but the keeping of the law. I mean, I'm falling into that. There's that within all of our bosom that we want to. That Christ, it couldn't be just Christ. That Christ hadn't done a full work. There's got to be something that can help. With that. And so these guys said, well, you guys, you Gentiles, you guys can't be saved except you keep the law of Moses. I mean, we keep the law of Moses. We believe on Christ, but we think that there's some benefit in keeping the law of Moses and being circumcised and doing all these sorts of things. And look what it says. When Paul and Barnabas, verse 2, had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. They had no great, they had no small dissension when they heard these Jewish fellows speaking about that the Gentiles who had believed on Christ along with the Jews. Yet you remember the Gentiles, not per se, they were not under the law of Moses, never were, except those maybe that had become proselytes to the Jew, the Jewish, quote, religion. So they were trying to put the law on these free brethren. Now, what do you think that did to the Gentiles? That made their heads drop. When a man's been set free and he's rejoicing in the glorious liberty of Jesus Christ, that Christ has paid it all, that his sin, he's whole every whit, that there's not anything that remains to be done except to rejoice in what the Lord Jesus has done. And when you come along and now you come back and you try to roll this heavy burden on him, saying, well, not quite. Don't be so happy yet. I mean, you're getting a little too excited about that. There's a lot of things you need to do. You're too happy in Christ, resting in Christ and glorying in what He has fulfilled and it is finished. Yeah, that's all great, but that's just a little too far there now. Don't get too excited. You need to be holy in your daily walk, and you need to keep these commandments. That's what these Jewish believers told these Gentiles. Drop down and see what Peter has to say about this when he stands up in this council. We call this the First Jerusalem Council. Is that what it's called by some theologians? Okay. In verse 7 of chapter 15, it says, "And when there had been much disputing about this matter, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness," the Gentiles, "He bear them witness that God had given them repentance, that God had included them in the family of God. He bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us." What's the manifestation that a man or a woman is a child of God? What is it? Is it they keep certain things? That they're circumcised? Are they washed in certain washings? Are they have all these reformations? Or they do certain things? They pray so many times? Or they read religious material, or they keep the law of Moses. What is the manifestation that a man or a woman is a child of God? Peter said it was the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was the gift to believe on Jesus Christ. And that alone is of the Holy Spirit, given to every man who has been chosen of God. But faith is brought to them in time, and Christ is made manifest in their hearts by the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is what Peter's saying here. He says that God made manifest that they were the children of God by the Holy Ghost. Now, that was without works. He didn't say that God made manifest that they were the children of God because they began to be circumcised and keep the law. That's not what he said. He said they were made manifest that they were the children of God by the Holy Ghost, believing on the gospel, the believing that Christ has satisfied the sin debt for them and making manifest that they were the children of God by that Spirit in them. Look what he says in verse 9. "He put no difference between us and them, but He purified their hearts by faith." He purified their hearts by faith. See, by faith, by grace are you saved? Through faith. Faith is the gift of God. If a man, a woman has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He alone is their only hope of righteousness, that He alone has satisfied the sin debt for them, believing that there's no hope in anything else. If a man has, that is of the Holy Ghost. That means that the Lord has given that person faith, because you can't conjure faith up. You can't believe on something that you don't know, that you don't love. You can believe it mentally, but you can't love it. You see what I'm saying? So faith is the gift of the Spirit. And he said the Lord didn't put any difference between Jews and Gentiles because their hearts were purified by faith, even as ours, said Peter. Look what he said. "Now, why do you tempt," verse 10, "now therefore, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we are able to bear?" Look, verse 11, "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. There's no difference. Brethren, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Gentile. What is it? Scythian or free. But ye are all one in Christ. Who maketh thee to differ? The Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We're saved by grace. By grace alone. It has to be by grace. There's salvation and no other. There's no other work. No other blood will do. Not all my sighs and tears and reforms can bear that load. But Christ has satisfied all. And Peter said, this is the message Peter and them preached. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll be saved, even as the Gentiles. And so then, why do we want to add something to that? Why are we told we got to keep commandments and do all these things? Because I had one guy, he said, well, who's going to control? Who's going to control this? Peter says that Christ is. That Christ, we shall be saved by Christ, by the grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, it couldn't be that easy. I mean, we can't tell people to do stuff. We can't keep them under wraps, keep them holy. Brethren, if the Lord doesn't keep a man holy, there ain't no keeping holy.
That's right.
But the Lord has kept His people. Remember what He said? He said, none is able to take them out of my Father's hand who's greater than all. Those that you gave me, Father, I have kept, and none of them are lost. I have kept. And so our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not anything that you and I can perform. It is solely in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.